Hi there. Well, good evening, everybody. It's good to be with you. I think maybe this is the third time, maybe the fourth time that I've joined you here in Netley, and it's always good to be with you. As has been said, I live in Portsmouth, in the city centre, and it's my privilege to be one of the pastors of Cornerstone Church there. I know some of you have connections with Cornerstone through family. And as a church, we're connected not just through those relationships, but ultimately we're connected through the gospel, aren't we? And it's great to enjoy this time with you this evening. Can I encourage you to, if you've got a Bible, to keep it open on John chapter 10. We're actually it's a little bit unusual sermon this evening. Don't panic, but. We're going to take quite a long time to get to John chapter 10. I'm going to do quite a long introduction. Don't worry when I get to my first point on John chapter 10. It's not the beginning of the sermon. We're well past halfway. So it's a long introduction. Then we're going to focus on four things from John chapter 10. Let me pray as we begin. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to be together this evening. And we ask now that as we consider your word, that you would, in your mercy, speak to us for our good and for your praise. Amen. Let me ask you, what animal would you like to be compared to? What animal would you like to be compared to? I suspect for most of us, it's not a question we ponder very often. But if we did, with what animal might we compare ourselves? Majestic lion, perhaps? Or a wise owl? We've got any wise owls here this evening? I'm not going to go on naming animals in case I offend anyone here. But what animal best describes you? Well, actually, I'm going to give you the answer to that question. If you're a Christian here this evening, which I'm guessing most of us are, then the Bible compares God's people to one particular animal more than any other. It's actually a picture that runs from the very beginning of the Bible, from the first chapter of the Bible, the first book of the Bible, to the last book of the Bible, from beginning to end. More than anything else, God's people, you and I, if we're believers, are compared to sheep. Sheep. Now, I don't know much about sheep, but I do know that they need looking after. I know that they are prone to get themselves lost and need protecting from danger. They need someone to guide them, to protect them, to provide for them. Sheep need a shepherd. And the picture of God's people being like sheep and in need of a shepherd, as I say, it runs from the Bible from beginning to end. God's people are compared to sheep, and God is compared to a great shepherd. Christian writer, I don't know if this will appear on the screen, I think it may be, it will do. Christian writer Paul Alexander, he says this: the whole history of God's people can be traced using the metaphor of God as the shepherd of his people. From Jacob in Genesis to the Exodus from Egypt, all the way through to the second Exodus from the wilderness of this world, God reveals himself as the shepherd of his people. As a church at Cornerstone, we're looking at the end of the book of Genesis, what I guess we might call the story of Joseph, of Jacob's descendants. And at the very end of the book of Genesis, where Jacob, just about one of some of his final words, he's blessing his children, And Jacob says this at the very end of his life. Then he blessed Joseph and said, this is just the words he says before the blessing. May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. Jacob, there in the book of Genesis, he calls God his shepherd. And that metaphor, it continues. It continues through Jacob's descendants, the children of Israel. And in particular, the Lord is described as being like a shepherd in the way that he leads his people out of Egypt. Psalm 78, I think this is on the screen as well, actually. Psalm 78, verses 52 and 53. But he brought his people out like a flock, and he led them like sheep through the wilderness. He guided them safely so that they were unafraid, but the sea engulfed their enemies. This picture, God being the shepherds, his people being the flock, it literally flows all the way through the Old Testament. If I was to ask you this evening, what's probably the just about the best known section of the Old Testament, maybe even some of the best known words in all of the Bible, I suspect many of you would say Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm that compares the Lord to being a shepherd. And according to that psalm, he's the shepherd who leads and who guides, who refreshes, who protects, who comforts. But the Old Testament doesn't just describe what the shepherd does, protecting, guiding, comforting. It's also used to describe the way those things are done. If I can put it this way, the heart and not just the functions of the shepherd. And in doing that, it reveals something of the heart of God. Let me just read you some verse from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. It says this, listen carefully to this. It says this: he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. See the description there? It's not just the function of the shepherd, it's the heart of the shepherd. The shepherd who tenderly carries the sheep close to his heart. Who doesn't just lead, but who gently leads. The Lord God isn't just carrying out the functions of the shepherd, but his heart is close to the sheep. What wonderful reality that is. And as the story of shepherding, as it continues in the Old Testament, we see that it isn't, increasingly, it isn't just the Lord God who's described as a shepherd. The leaders of God's people are described as shepherds. Some of them, Jacob, Moses, David, they were literally shepherds of fluffy sheep before they came to lead God's people, a different flock. And when they took on that responsibility to lead the people, that responsibility is described in similar ways to a shepherd caring for actual sheep. So when David was made king over Israel, okay, David's about to become king, and this is what the people say to him. Imagine the scene, all the people there. This is what the people say to David. In the past, 2 Samuel 5, this is, in the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people Israel. As we read, as we continue to read the Old Testament, the idea that what it means to lead God's people, it means to be a shepherd, it is stressed time and time again. But sadly, Israel's leaders did not generally shepherd God's people well. That they weren't good shepherds, very basically because they stopped listening to the shepherd, the great shepherd of God's people. And as they turn their back on God, the great shepherd, they become wicked and poor shepherds of the people. That they stop being under shepherds. Ezekiel 34 is one of the places where we see that clearly. Let me just read you some verses there. Ezekiel 34. Get there in a second. Ezekiel 34 says this. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, woe to the shepherds of Israel, who only take care of themselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? But you eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You've not strengthened the weak, or healed those who are ill, or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. As the story of shepherding, as it kind of draws to a close as at the end of the Old Testament, there is a clear need for God's people to have a good shepherd. And as the Old Testament draws to a close, that promise is made. Maybe we read these words at Christmas, perhaps when you had your carol service, you read these words, Micah chapter 5, but you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Then it goes on to say, verse 4, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the Lord God, the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. The promised shepherd. Imagine you're watching a film. Maybe some of you have had this experience. You watch a film, but you only come in halfway through the film. Maybe two-thirds of the way in. And you start watching the film, and one of the characters says something, and you don't think it's particularly significant. But to those who have seen the whole movie, who have seen what's all gone before, they realise that what's just been said, that is really, really significant. Jesus' words, recorded for us in John chapter 10, the words that we read earlier, carry so much more weight, so much more significance when we realise all that's gone before. When Jesus declares, I am the good shepherd. It's not just a claim that's come from nowhere. It's said in the context of the sheep and shepherd metaphor that's run literally throughout the whole Old Testament. We are sheep, and Jesus is the promised good shepherd. And for the rest of our time this evening, I just want to highlight four things about the shepherd. Four things about the good shepherd. Four things that we'd do well to remember as we head into this new year. Four things that I hope will be a great comfort and encouragement to us. The first is this. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. If you've got your Bibles, just turn back, if you will, to John chapter 10. Let me read you verse 11 again. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd, that is the Lord Jesus, laid down his life for sheep, like you and me. Now, I know if we're believers, we're familiar with that. But isn't that an incredible thing? That the shepherd would die for sheep. It's amazing because when you think about it, a shepherd's life is worth so much more than a sheep. If someone gave me the choice, okay, something's going to die, it's either going to be a sheep or it's going to be the shepherd, I'm going to go for the sheep every time. But he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd. The good shepherd who died for sheep like you and me. I don't know what you're going to face this week, this month, this year. I don't know if following the good shepherd is going to be difficult for you. Actually, I say that I'm fairly confident that for many of us it will be, because the good shepherd warned us that it would be. But I know this as well, that we can trust a shepherd, a good shepherd, who is willing to lay down his life for sheep like us. Secondly, let's notice that the good shepherd knows his sheep. The good shepherd knows his sheep by name. He doesn't just know sheep in the general sense. He knows them personally. As I look at you this evening, for most of you, I just see you as a group of people. You're, if I can put it this way, you're like the flock. Because I only come here a couple of times, I've only been here a couple of times before, I don't know you personally. But the Lord Jesus does. The Good Shepherd knows the sheep. He knows each one. Verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Same image is used down in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The good shepherd knows you. He knows what your fears are. He knows what your sins are. He knows what your hopes are. He knows everything about you. In the vastness of his flock, and it is a vast, vast flock, he knows your name. What comfort there is in that. The good shepherd knows you. It's not just that the Lord is our shepherd. That is wonderfully true. He is our shepherd. But we can each say, the Lord is my shepherd. He knows you better than anyone. What joy there is in that. Thirdly, let's see that the good shepherd confidently leads the sheep. The good shepherd confidently leads the sheep. Maybe some of us might think of a shepherd driving the flock from behind. We're kind of the sheep in front of them. If I was to sort of picture a shepherd, that's the way I would think they would work. But back then, in the times of Jesus, in that region, shepherds led the sheep from the front. And Jesus says that he will guide his sheep. He says that he will go on ahead of them and that they will follow him. Verse 4, when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Later, in verse 16, that same picture is used again. It speaks about that the other sheep. I think that's the Gentile sheep, probably most of us here this evening. We read this, verse 16. I have other sheep who are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, he leads his flock. He goes on ahead, and the sheep merely follow. He speaks, and the sheep hear his voice. It's what he continues to do today. In Scripture, we see how he has gone on ahead for us, and we follow him. In Scripture, we have here his words, his voice, the word of the good shepherd recorded for us. He will lead us through his words, by his spirit. And did you notice how confident the shepherd is? He doesn't hope to lead the sheep. He hasn't got his fingers crossed, anxiously hoping that the sheep will follow. He leads confidently. They will listen to my voice, verse 16. He is a confident shepherd. He's confident that he will not lose any of his sheep. Isn't that good news? The good shepherd is very confident that he will not lose his sheep. That shouldn't make us complacent. That shouldn't make us think, okay, I'll do whatever I want then. But it should encourage us. It should encourage us to keep looking to the good shepherd, to keep listening to his call. Because we are sheep who are prone to wander, aren't we? To go our own way. But he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd who confidently leads his sheep. His church, his flock, it will grow. His church, his flock, he will protect it. His church, his flock, you and I, he will be with us. He's gone on ahead of us. We can be confident, not in ourselves, but in him. So keep looking to the good shepherd. Finally, let's remember that the good shepherd lovingly cares for his sheep. The good shepherd is not like the hired hand who only cares for the sheep out of duty because it's his job. No, Jesus actually loves the sheep. That they are his and he cares for them. But verse 12, the hired hand is not the shepherd and he does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks and the flock scatters. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. The hired hand does not care for the sheep. But in contrast, the good shepherd does. The good shepherd, he cares for you. He cares for me. That the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of that Old Testament prophecy of the good shepherd who would hold the sheep close to his heart. The good shepherd cares for you so much. He would do anything for you. And he's demonstrated that already in that he laid down his life for us, the sheep. In hard times, in confusing times, in difficult times, we can trust his loving care. And can I add that as Jesus is committed to the care of the flock, as we follow him, we are committed to the flock too. To loving each other. To caring for each other. To putting each other first. That is the example that the good shepherd has set for us to follow. I asked at the beginning, which animal do you compare yourself to? As we draw to a close, can I say I hope you see yourself as a sheep. A sheep with Jesus as the good shepherd. A flock with the Lord Jesus as our good shepherd. A shepherd who cares. Who leads. Who knows. The good shepherd. Who laid down his life for us. In whatever this year holds for us as individuals, in whatever it holds for you as a church, keep looking and listening to Jesus, the good shepherd. As we finish this part of our time, just want to spend a little moment praying. And what I'd like us to do is just to pray quietly, personally, and then we're going to sing. And I'm just going to give us some things that we can pray for. Maybe a sorry and a thank you and a please that we can pray as sheep in the Lord Jesus' flock. So let's pray together now. And first, just quietly in your own heart, maybe say sorry for the times when you've wandered away from the Lord Jesus, our good shepherd. For times when we've ignored his words, when we've not been lovingly committed to serving and caring for the flock. Take a moment to confess that quietly in your heart. And then just quietly take a moment to say thank you. Thank you to the Lord Jesus that he is the promised good shepherd. The good shepherd who's laid down his life for us. The good shepherd who leads and lovingly cares for us. The good shepherd who knows us by name. And then finally, let's say please. Let's ask, please, that we would follow the Good Shepherd faithfully, that we'd keep our eyes on him, that we'd delight in being one of his sheep and in being a flock together. Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, we pray these prayers in your name with thanks. Amen. Just as we finish, I said that the story runs from beginning to end. Let me just finish by reading one verse from the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, Revelation 7:17. He describes the throne of God. And then we read this. For the Lamb is at the center of the throne, and he will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Lord Jesus, the great good shepherd, help us to keep following you until we join with the praise of all your flock around your throne in heaven. Amen. We're going to sing together. We're going to sing the words based on Psalm 23. Let's stand as the music begins.